Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Day 34, I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Hi FM. Now the Washington Post admits to faulty reporting on claims that Israel killed dozens of Gazan civilians at an aid site. So it's not an unfamiliar story. It started with 500 people killed, allegedly by Israel rocket fire at the beginning of the war. Turns out it wasn't Israel, it wasn't 500, it wasn't anything of the sort. We've seen this. We've seen the pattern over and over and over again. And yet, even at the end stage, which I hope is at least the end stage of the war, this continues. Media seems to learn very, very little. That puts us in a very challenging position. What do we believe? Because it doesn't mean that Israel can't make mistakes, and it doesn't mean that terrible things might not happen. When do we believe it? When don't we? What is really the position in terms of mainstream media? Major Andrew Fox is no stranger to Chai FM and to the Morning Mayhem. He joins us this morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. It's always a pleasure to join you, my friend.
Great. So this is one of those stories. It starts with 31 people killed, mowed down effectively by Israel. I have no idea where we are right now. What do we know about the story?
So we know that shots were fired. We know that people were wounded. I think the thing to do actually is to wait and work, you know, wait for reports to come out from the ground that are credible. And unfortunately, we live in a 24/7 news cycle where there's a war here, where one combatant can just make up anything it wants and get it out immediately. And because Israel is a proper democracy with rules and a commitment to international law, they have to take time to investigate things, which means they're always second with the punch when it comes to these things.
How long should it take before we get information in a normal, I don't know what a normal world is anymore, I suppose, but how long should this take?
Look, I mean, there's nothing normal about the conflict in Gaza. It's a pretty unique, bespoke set of circumstances. And it is chaotic. And war crimes, you know, I think the Srebrenica trial, you know, when they were looking at war crimes there, took like 12 years. So it's not something that can happen quickly, because, you know, if you're going to try and prove something to even sort of a balance of probabilities, if you want to prove it beyond reasonable doubt, it takes time to do this stuff. And so this is not easy. And unfortunately, as I said, that 24/7 media cycle keeps running and makes fools of themselves, frankly. Even the BBC had three headlines on this incident within 24 hours, as they started with Israel tanks murder people, moving to Hamas-run Ministry of Health says something happened, moving to this is all disputed. So it's really irresponsible journalism that's causing the problem there, in my opinion.
Why aren't they learning? I mean, they've BBC, for example, has had egg on their face at least on four or five occasions, probably even more, but four or five that comes to mind for me. Surely by now they've got to be tired of making idiots of themselves.
I mean, there's an institutional problem with the BBC beyond question. You know, they've even run a documentary that was naked Hamas propaganda. We know they've used fixers on the ground in Gaza to report to them who've previously posted about killing the Jews. You know, this is firmly on brand for the BBC as an institution, but it goes much wider than the BBC. And it's important to remember that Hamas is a protagonist in this war. They're not just sitting back while the IDF attack them. What they're doing is conducting what we call, in military terms, information maneuver. Okay, and it's a term I think a lot of people aren't familiar with. Now, put it in these terms. They know they can't fight the IDF on the battlefield properly. They don't have the military capability to compete with what the IDF have in terms of jets, artillery, ground troops, sheer numbers. So they've looked at how they can fight, and they've decided on two things. First of all, they're going to sacrifice and make sure as many civilians die as possible. And then secondly, they're going to leverage those deaths to attack Israel's allies and support internationally. And this is all part of a campaign to make that happen on the international stage. So actually, they don't care what's really happening in Gaza. As long as they retain control over Gaza's people, they're happy. But as long as they can keep attacking Israel in the international stage, they're scoring what they consider to be strategic wins. So that's why this is playing out the way it has. It's a very, very clever and deliberate campaign of manipulation.
We saw when Israel was about to go into Rafah an incredibly strong international media campaign to try and prevent Israel from doing so. An observation that I have made, but without any form of real data to back it up, is that every time we see a shift in the war, a shift that gives Israel a little bit more power over the strip, we see an increase in these types of stories. Is there any basis for that?
Yes, I completely agree. We notice every time Hamas is under significant pressure, there is a crescendo of online accusations and manipulated images that start coming out and going around the world. And, you know, it does work. Rafah's a really good example. That assault was delayed by 4 months due to White House pressure based on the information campaign that Hamas was waging. So, you know, this humanitarian foundation in Gaza, the GHF, it is the biggest blow to Hamas in the entire war in some ways, because what it's threatening is their control over the people. Aid is what's kept them in power. It's what kept them with money to keep paying their fighters. And having that threatened is actually an existential threat to Hamas. So I suspect we're going to see even more crescendo over the coming days and weeks, because this is a real problem. And also, you know, there's a lot of complicity here, because the UN have had their trousers pulled down, quite frankly.
Right.
We've had now images of UN warehouses stocked full of aid with Hamas gunmen in them. We've known for a long time that there's enough aid in Gaza to feed everyone. And there has to be a huge question asked as to why people are going hungry, because I think they are. Some people are really struggling to find food. And that doesn't fall on Israel. That falls on whoever's in Gaza running the aid program, and that is Hamas and the UN and the other aid agencies. So they're going to be joining in this crescendo against the GHF because it's embarrassed them, frankly.
I see that, to your point, News 24, South African news agency, leading with a story, developing story, 10 Palestinians killed in Israeli attack on a school in Gaza, and then dash Hamas media. I mean, how do you actually even publish something that you attribute to Hamas media?
I mean, it's a very strange thing where people seem to have disambiguated Hamas, the slaughtering rapist terrorists, with Hamas, the administrative function. It's a very, I can't, you know, since even, you know, think about how the Ministry of Health has been incredibly, you know, presented as a credible actor throughout this war. And even now, after we wrote that paper in December saying the figures were dodgy, and then they deleted 3,200 names, even though Hamas have done that themselves, people are still pushing articles talking about how reliable these figures are. It's just insane. And yeah, I don't understand it. And what can you do? I think it's a deeply frustrating situation.
I guess we've just got to do what we keep doing, which is talking about it and hopefully exposing it. Major Andrew Fox, former British Army officer, thank you as always for bringing
your
measured approach. It is 8:43. I'd love your thoughts, your reaction on 061-895-1019.